The Apostle Paul here is addressing the church at Galatia. He has cause for concern because there were those who had perverted the gospel message that they had received even from his lips. We read there in the opening verses of how there were those who came and preached another gospel, which wasn't another. But there be some that trouble you, verse 7, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, men and women, there's only one gospel. There's only one message of good news. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary's cross. And so what he does here in the very opening chapter, he underlines his calling. And he underlines his authority. Because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he gives a personal word of testimony. And I take those two verses that we have read together, verse 15 and verse 16, and I just apply them to my own life. I want you to notice, first of all, his commencement. Or, if you like, his creation. Because the opening words speak about his natural birth. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. God is the one who is our creator. God is the one who gives us life and breath and all good things. And I want the young people to remember that, because I'm conscious that you're taught other things even in the school these days. That we were created out of a big blob. Or a big bang so many millions of years ago. When we read in God's word, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I take you to Acts chapter 17. You remember Paul as he went to Athens. And he looked around and he saw all these altars. And even an altar to an unknown God. What did he do? He took the opportunity to point them to the God of creation. That's where he started. And men and women, I say to you, we're coming to a day where we need to go back to Genesis. We need to go back to the ABCs. We can't presume that our people understand the Bible and they understand the truths that maybe many of us do and we're nurtured in. This is not a day like that. And Paul takes them right back. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It's the Lord that is creator. And you know, there might be many colors, and there's a lot of nonsense been talked about these days about racism. It says we're made of one blood. No difference. And we're all sinners by birth. Revelation chapter 4 and the words of verse 11 give the same truth. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you see when this creation took place? But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. He speaks of a person within the womb. That's when we're created. That's what the abortionists do not want to accept these days. Psalmist in Psalm 139 brings it out most powerfully. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Listen to this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, even in the mother's womb. The Lord has a note of every member. The arms, the little fingernails, the fingers, the miracle, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them, were created by God, and God breathed into man, he became a living soul. My upbringing was into a home where the children were cherished and loved. I was born in the year, and you're going to start working out now. I was born in the year where abortion was legalized in the United Kingdom. I'm 54 just passed. That'll help you. But I was born into a home where the children were loved, four of us. An older sister and three boys. I was the youngest. A Christian home. Not in the loosest sense where people maybe refer to that these days, but in the sense which is the biblical sense, a mother and father who were saved. Mother and father who knew and loved the Lord. A mother and father who knew how to pray. Read the Word every day. Brought their children up. Nourished them in the Word of their children in the Word of God as they had promised to do so. Brought up on a small farm outside Portadown. A family of four. I underline that because I didn't know this until I was married and after it. And between my next brother up and myself, my mother had miscarriages. And I suppose that's why I was cherished. And my birth, that actually did happen. As I say, those things weren't spoken about in those days, those little procedures and all of that. It was only after I was married many years later that I knew that. Brought up in such a family. Brought up in an old Presbyterian fashion, if we could put it like that. Went to a Presbyterian church, reported down. Strict Sabbath, as I said, on Thursday night, twice on the Lord's Day, and also two Sunday schools. What a strict Sabbath. There's no football kicked on the Sabbath day. There was no television. He didn't suggest it. Taught to reverence the house of God. Wore the suit or the good clothes for to go to the house of God. Just like Joseph. You might say, what do you mean? Remember, Joseph was in the dungeon and Pharaoh called for him. We read of it in Genesis 41 that he came and he washed himself and he shaved and he put on a new garment, new raiment. Why? Because he was going in to see the king. Men and women, we need to pray that the Free Presbyterian Church doesn't lose that. Because there's a lot of churches these days, so-called, and they're dressing down. An old pair of jeans, open-neck shirts and all that. I'm talking about the men. I'm not taking a quick shot at the ladies. Sometimes that happens, but I'm not doing that. I'm talking about the men. There's no reverence. They're going in to meet the king. As a young boy, I was taught, I can hear her saying, yet you're not dressed unless you have a suit on. I'm sure some of the rest of you have heard that. It's the sort of home we were brought up in. Mother and father saved, prayed for their children. My father was Sammy he got. He was a car mechanic. He worked for Irish Road Motors. Now, Thrust Forward is it out in Craigavon. But his real passion was the cattle and the calves. My mother was Margaret. She was from the other side of Portadown over near Knockinbuckley, if any of you know that area. And she was a seamstress. And many a time, it was always on a Thursday, by memory, there was a cow to be sold. It was a day out to Market Hill. And we look forward to that. We had Mart, of course, in Portadown, it's gone a long time now. There's houses where it used to be. But Market Hill was a special day. It was down at the bottom of the town then. And we often would have been there in the cattle ring. As I said the other night as well, not only church but missions. Brought to here, there and yonder. Little gospel halls. Little mission halls. Little tent missions. The far-flung corners of the county. Bolden Grant, Sammy Workman, many others. And so what I'm trying to impress upon you men and women is not only that God was merciful in my birth, but from my earliest days I knew there was a need of salvation. I knew it as though I was brought up in a Christian home, brought to church faithfully, all of that, Sunday school, youth work, missions. Yet I needed God's salvation. I had an aunt as well. My uncle was here the other night. And some of you will know her. She's in now in the glory. And she had a great love for the children. She gathered us into her kitchen for a little good news club. Gwen taught us the word of God. Again, in her need of salvation. Those were the gospel influences in my life. And I can say, like the Apostle Paul could of Timothy. For he said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. The writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul says the same here. He begins where his commencement began, his natural birth. But you'll notice verse 15 doesn't stay there, because he goes on, and I want you to show you his conversion. Because he says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Called by his grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's salvation is all of grace. And he revealed Christ to him. We all know, of course, the passage in Acts of the Apostles where the Lord stopped him on the Damascus Road. Paul was a persecutor. Paul was found at the death of Stephen. The coats were laid at his feet. He was assenting unto his death. And he was causing harm to the church of Jesus Christ, gathering men and putting them in prison. He was on his way to Damascus to do the very same thing when God stepped into his life. He revealed Christ to him. Christ, the one of whom we read in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of course, what a change was wrought. You see, men and women, God's salvation changes you from the inside out. Gives you a new heart. Put a new spirit within you. And it's evidenced. It's seen in your outward walk. And it changed Paul from being a persecutor to being a preacher. The Lord saved him. The Damascus Road. The 17th of November, 1978. I was found in a mission. Happened to be in the church in Portadown. Dr. Craig's old church. But it was conducted by Sam Workman. And Sammy Workman had an act of getting the attention of his hearers, particularly, I believe, the young people. And the Lord was dealing with me through that mission. I can vividly remember the Tuesday night. I was strongly under conviction, but I left the meeting. And other things were to take us to my sister's house. She was married by that stage and all of that. But you know, the Lord was merciful and strove on to the Friday night. Be sure your sin will find you out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what his text were as he announced at the start of the meeting. And the Lord was dealing with me. And I left that meeting under conviction. And I simply went home. And I knelt down at my own bedside. I didn't know much theology. You don't need to. A young person, man or woman, you need to know that you're a sinner. And you need to know your need of Christ as your Savior. And I called upon the Lord to come into my heart, to take away my sin. And I rest in that promise of Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the 17th of November, 1978, is my spiritual birthday. The Lord graciously saved me. I said the other night that I often lacked assurance. I put that down to some things, but one thing in particular, I was never encouraged to go to the midweek prayer meeting. I missed out. Seemed that there never was young people went to the prayer meeting in the old church. You know, the Lord gave me a verse one night in my own reading, Galatians 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That was what I needed to hear. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. No doubt as other teenagers maybe in the meeting house tonight will be able to testify, it's difficult. It's not too bad when you're in the primary school, but when you go up into the high school, it can be difficult to stand out as a child of God. And I was no different. There was times that we have to say, ashamedly, we grew cold. We just was going through the motions. I came home one Friday afternoon from school. My sister was standing by the stove. She was never there at that time, at that particular hour. My mother came off the phone, tears running down her cheeks. Something wrong. I was told a story that morning. My cousin was about, I would say, 6 months, maybe a year older than me. Lovely girl. She was 15. So you can just get it into your mind there, the age I was. And my cousin, who's called Christine, was at school that day, and she took unwell. She took a sore head, I think it was, and her friend brought her home across the road to her own house. To her friend's house. And she sat down in that chair at break time, she was gone. Just as sudden as that. But you know, I knew where Christine was. Christine used to sing with her stepmother in gospel meetings, the gospel. They were at that time in independent Methodist circles. I knew she was saved. The same thing happened to her mother. I suppose these days they may have detected those things quicker. I never knew her mother. Mother died behind the pram. Portadown Street, I think it was. Christine was in the pram. The men and women, God spoke. Sometimes God has to speak very strongly. He spoke to me through that. Was I walking right? Could I have stood up and sang the gospel if I had a tune, if I had the ability to do that? And the Lord was gracious to us and drew us back onto himself. I learned to trust the Lord for every situation. School. From Clina, we went into Portadown College. I had good friends. I said that the other night. Godly fellows. They weren't in the free church, but they were in their own places. But they knew and loved the Lord. Or at least one or two of them did. There's another fellow who was very friendly. For many years he was unsaved. But the Lord graciously saved him. I went to the college. Well, we had to do the old levels. And for the purpose of the children tonight, that's GCSEs as they call them these days. So you know what age I'm. Well, I did the old O-levels and I wanted to do the A-levels as well. And so we picked geography. I had a half a notion of being a weather forecaster. I like that sort of thing. instead of Barra, what do you call them? BBC. And then I did RE as well. I had to repeat one or two of the O-levels. So that was enough for me. But you know, the Lord's hand was graciously upon us, and I didn't do as well as I expected to do in the geography. And I excelled in the RE. And you might say, well, that stands. No, it doesn't stand the reason, because the RE teacher was an awkward teacher. We hadn't the authorized version, of course. She questioned whether things were actually the truth. And we went through the synoptic gospels, as they call them, done a few religions, Judaism and all of that. And every week was an argument. I'm not joking you. Every week was an argument with her, because I believed and I knew what she was teaching wasn't right. And the other fellow that was friendly, they separated us into the two classes, so we hadn't even a pal there with me. But you know, I believe that stood to my good when it came to the actual final exam, because the question was asked, and I wrote down what she had taught, and then I said, but here is what I believe. I was able to fill it out, and I come out with a C. I never got a C in my life through the whole 2 years on the A-level RE. I often thought about her. She was a Presbyterian elder in the other church across the town. But the Lord's hand was upon us through the school, and I come out through the college gates and I said, Lord, that's the final exam for me. I'll go into work now. I knew I didn't want to go to university. There was very few that didn't, but I was one of them. Just wanted to get to the work. Used to work in a draper shop in Portadown on Saturday. We also then got a part-time job in a filling station. And that summer, the manager of the filling station left, and I applied and I got the job, filling station on the Guildford Road. And I loved that job. But there was difficulties. I couldn't stay. I got another job offered to me as a fruit salesman, a little bit of book work out closer to my home. And we went in there and with opportunities to speak to people there as well. And men and women, I was 5 years in secular work, and I don't regret that one moment, because I know how the working community operate. I know what they go through. I seen it in the filling station. I seen it in the fruit yard, the wholesale fruit yard. A fellow up the town, he probably never recognized me, but I used to sell the fruit to him. I think he's still there. I had to trust the Lord through the work. And though I had two good jobs in that sense, yet there was still that void. Still that void. I had to trust the Lord for relationships. You see, men and women, what I'm trying to give to you and the young people, God's salvation is not just meaning that you're right for heaven. Yes, that is the case. But God's salvation is an everyday experience with the Lord. There's times the Lord proves you, tests you. When I was in the filling station, I started at 7:30 in the morning. One Thursday night, I got the news. I was at a youth event in the church. I got the news that my father was rushed into the hospital. Daddy had a massive heart attack. That meant the responsibilities of milking the cows and feeding the cows and cattle the next morning was me, because the rest of them were away. I had a brother years ago that went through Bible college in England. The other brother was married, and my sister was in the town. And you know, I'll never forget that time, because I was carrying a bale of hay over to the byre one morning. I just threw it down and I sat down and I prayed, Lord, spare my father. And he did. He answered prayer. Daddy came home He never went back to Irish Road, but what he did was he built his own garage, and through time he did all the MOT work there and so forth. But through those weeks with an early start and keeping the other job in, the Lord gave us grace and he gave us help. It's times like that, men and women, that you prove the Lord. It's the darkest places that you see the Lord and you know the Lord carrying you through. What about relationships? Very important. I had other relationships, but they broke up. One or two. And I prayed that the Lord would send the right girl to me. About 6 months later, my friends were getting a bit worried. But they needn't have been. Because the Lord answers prayer. One Sunday night, there's this girl come in to the church. She was looking for somebody else, by the way. But she stood out because she had a hat on. And she had a suit on. He says, boys, I must get talking to her. And so it turned out that she knew some of my friends, and we're standing talking after the meeting. And we ended up taking her home. And the rest is history. We were engaged within a very short space of time. We were married 18 months later, the 31st of December, 1988. If you get to that, you're doing rightly. I'm not sure who gets the medal, me or her. But the Lord has blessed us. We set up home outside on of Moore. And we joined Dungannon as communicant members. As I said, you saw the other night, the Lord blessed us. Blessed us with three boys. Joel is the eldest. He was born in 91. David, 94. And Stephen in 96. And I've had the greatest pleasure of pointing my boys to the Savior. The Lord has saved them early in life. And I thank God for them. At that time, you may not know this, but I played a bit of football. I played in the Middle Ulster League with Portadown Old Boys. And I enjoyed it. Now, I'm not saying I was any good, but I enjoyed it. Men and women, there was soon to arise a conflict where that was concerned. Because the training was on the same night as the prayer meeting in Dungannon. And that was a problem. Maybe it's not football with you. Maybe it's something else. Put the Lord first. Honor him. And he will honor you. You see, Paul here not only writes about his commencement, but he writes about his conversion. The Lord called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. And the Lord's grace is still sufficient to save you tonight. We're still in the day of God's grace. The Lord can still change your heart. And change your life. That you'll never be the same again. And you'll know that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. But he doesn't stop there even yet. Because I want you to notice in verse 16 his commission. To reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. And Paul was to be an instrument in God's hand. I've already referenced to you how the Lord saved him on the Damascus Road. And on that occasion, he stops and he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord was to cause Ananias to go and deliver a message to the apostle. In verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He was chosen of God, called by his grace, but chosen of God to bear my name, to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles, before kings, and before even those of the children of Israel. And you read the book of Acts, you will see how God used him in each of those avenues. He did preach to the Gentiles. He did stand before Agrippa and other men, influential men in position. And he did preach to the children of Israel. For it says in verse 20, after he was heard, after he received that message, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He preached Christ. You've only got to look at his messages. You've only got to look at his letters, and you'll know wherever he went. That was his message. He preached Christ, his spotless life, his atoning death on the cross, his glorious resurrection the third day. The tomb is empty tonight. The cross has been vacated. Why? Because we have a living Savior. And his glorious ascension that the book of Acts begins with, and his coming again for his own people. You see, men and women, he preached Christ in all his fullness. And that's what we desire to do, is to preach him. For he is the only answer for the souls of men and women. He's the only answer for Market Hill tonight and the surrounding districts. And Paul here, he goes on to speak of his commission. The Lord's called me by his grace, but he has commanded me to preach him among the heathen. And the Galatians were those who experienced his preaching. I said to you, I had a conflict. In August 1989, football training had started again for the new season. It's always a Tuesday night over at Kernan. So I arrived, right in good time, in the old training gear, waiting for the training to start. I looked around me, and there's nobody there. I rang, I think, my brother. I said, is there training on tonight? Yes. Waited another time. It seemed a long time, but there's nobody that came. I says, here, I'm going home. So I drove home, back to Annaghmore, got out of the old training gear, got the suit on, and went to the prayer meeting in Dungannon. Don't know why I kept the speed limits or not that night, but got there. And Reverend Baxter was on holiday. And what he did was on holiday, he got his elders usually to take the meetings. Morris Moore happened to be the one that was doing the meeting that night. And he told us he was up half the night trying to get something together for this prayer meeting. And he turned it all around. We had a hymn first, maybe another one, and then we had a time of prayer, and then he just left a little piece for the end. But you know, it didn't matter. Because the word he spoke was from my heart. He referred, made reference to two books. I can't remember one of them, but one of them, the other one was a C.T. Studd. And how he left the cricket. And he went at God's calling, even to the great land of China, to preach Christ. And the message that he brought that evening was a message to my heart to obey the call of God. That message was confirmed just a few weeks later, less than a few weeks later, in my own reading. And it was Matthew chapter 4 in the words of verse 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I believe the Lord had called us to go forth to preach him. I approached Mr. Baxter, asked him about the entrance exams, and they were taken care of, as I said to you. You see, young people, you just remember the Lord's hand is upon you, even in their choice of subjects. What the Lord wants you to do. Those were all taken care of. I hadn't to do any entrance exams. I had to make application to the session and to the Whitfield. And we entered the Whitfield College in 1990. I must say one of my uncles was overjoyed. As I said to you, I was brought up in a Presbyterian home. A lot of my aunts and uncles were also either Episcopalian or Presbyterian. But Uncle Willie was a free Presbyterian in Armagh. Some of you remember him. Made the pulpit. And Auntie Margaret, when he heard that, he was overjoyed. The Lord called him home that first month that I was in the college. But you know, I want to take you back to the first day. First day I was in the college, full day. It was a Monday. And there was church survey. And there was something else. And then there was Greek. And then there was hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. I couldn't even spell that word. Never mind know what it was. Now, we had a very big year. It was about 8 or 9 in our class. And then we also were in with the second years as well. When the whole college was in the room, there was 35 on a Thursday afternoon. When I went home that first day, my head was spinning. I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I'll never stick this. Some of the guys, I understand this since, some of the guys who have been to university, they will tell you that there's more intensity with the college course than any of their degrees. I don't know, I can't verify that. I never went to these universities, but my head was sore that night. But you know, Lord, give me a word. And it's Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And you just picture me after that first day. I was ready not bothering going in the Tuesday, you know. One day's enough. But the Lord said, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the Lord was good. And he carried us through those 4 years at Whitfield College. I often laugh to myself. I went out to Portadown College and that's the last exam. Well, I had about 7 or 8 more to get through before I got out of the place. But we got out and we went then to Ardara in 1994. We started on the 14th of November there. But why is my ministry now in Market Hill? I trust you'll give me just a few minutes to tell you why. I was somewhat surprised to be told by the interim moderator of interest after preaching here back in June. Reverend Baxter made that phone call at the end of June and he asked me what my position was. I said, brother, I have no position one way or another. I have no desire to leave Kilkeel. He says, will you pray about it? Oh, he says, give me the summer and I'll pray about it. Well, his summers are very short. He rang me back at the end of July. He didn't even give me August. And I said to him, brother, I have no word, I believe, whether to stay or to go. And he said to me these words, I think the men will go anyway. I think they'll have a meeting anyway. I can't control that. And then I thought, and I've thought about this ever since. I was installed in Garvan in June 2002. I preached one Sunday and I heard nothing until that phone rang the night that they met and they called me. I was installed in Mourne in November 2011. I preached once, one Sunday during their vacancy. The interim moderator approached me that January. I said, brother, I have nothing. The clerk of session rang me, late brother George McConnell. He rang me about the April of that year and we had a conversation. I said, brother, I don't want the men to think that I would stay away from more and I just have no word from the Lord to go. You know what he said to me? He says, I think they might meet anyway. Whew. And so they did in August of that year. Back in this August, I said to my elders, I met the elders for a regular meeting. I said to them, brethren, there's an interest in me in Market Hill. Now, let me put that in context. There's other interim moderators who have spoken to me. But I said to them, I just think there's something different about this one. I think there's an edge to this. I think that's the words that I used. And I kept them informed. I says, he can tell you nothing else because I don't know anything else myself. I preached one Sunday and then our brother Baxter wanted me to come back another Sunday. He says, no way. Too close. Don't want them getting the wrong idea. But I did do a prayer meeting for him. He was supposed to be away, I think, that night. Your prayer meeting Thursday the 16th of September I think that was the night that you met the call. The Lord gave me a wee verse in Philippians 4, verse 7. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The day after the call, John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord was saying to me, you're going to have peace about this. But I hadn't peace. When it was presented at Presbytery at the start of October, men and women, I had to take a month. And I appreciate and I thanked Market Hill for their patience when I did eventually answer, because I appreciate it's maybe 6 or 7 weeks later after you've met. But I had to take a month to pray. I needed a word of direction from the Lord. And the Lord reminded me that it is Him who is the shepherd. I was in a meeting. I'm in three boards in the presbytery, the mission board, the education board, and treasurer of Let the Bible Speak. It was one of those, I think it was the mission board meeting, and the chairman read Psalm 78 and verse 52. But made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they feared not. Again, that spoke to me. I was reminded that I had to be ready to hear. I was reading through Ecclesiastes at the time. And I understand that you didn't know what my answer would be. That's because I didn't know myself. And if there's anybody that came to you in those 6 or 7 weeks and said, oh, Patterson's coming to you, you just remember they were speaking of a presumption. Because I didn't know. I didn't know. I told my people about the call at the start of October. I said to them, understand this, that I will come back to you when I get the answer, and I will tell you. You know, men and women, the Lord speaks at the right time when it's needed. One day I was helping Cherie in the Let the Bible Speak shop in Bambridge. I try to help her in my day off or if I'm tidied up for the Lord's day. I would do the books. I would sort out the books, etc. I was sorting out the books. There's some of them are not put out, of course. We can get all our ways for them, old novels and stuff like that, and some other stuff as well. I was sorting out some of the books, and a track fell out of the book. How to Get to Heaven from Market Hill. It wasn't Mourne or Kilkeel or Portadown. It was Market Hill. Big bass drum in the front of her. Amen. Next Sunday, the 17th of October, was our harvest services. Reference was made, I guess preachers, of course, reference was made to the man healed of the Lord. And sometimes he's called a demoniac. And that man healed of the Lord desired to get into the boat with the Savior. You know, the Lord instructed him otherwise. Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Following Wednesday, Cherie was returning from her mother's along the main road. It was a 3-car pileup. Policeman said to her, there's somebody looking after you tonight. She told him where she was going. You know what he said? He says, the only way you can go is Market Hill. And she duly told me that when she came home. But men and women, I looked at all of those things and I would say, those are all circumstantial. I needed a word. That's the sort I am. And you might think, well, you have enough. Well, maybe I had, but that's just me. I needed a word. Friday the 29th of October. The month's nearly gone. The following Friday, I'm going to have to answer to presbytery or take another month. And I didn't want to take another month. Friday the 29th of October, I didn't go to the youth fellowship that night. One of our youth leaders looked after it. I went into study. And I was reading a book by William Jay. Now, it wasn't on a passage. He just directed me to one verse that I've read to you tonight. Deuteronomy 1, verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. The revelation is there. The Lord had set the land before them. The command was there. Go up and possess it. The encouragement was there. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And in that little article, Jay then went on to speak about Caleb. And why did Caleb say in Numbers 13, let us go up and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it? Was he saying it? Let's go in our own strength. We can do this place. We can do this people. Let's go without the Lord. No, he wasn't saying that. He was saying it because the Lord was going before them. The Lord was going with them as leader and as their keeper. And William Jay, at that part in that little book, he then cross-referenced to another verse. What was that other verse? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Remember the verse the Lord gave me the very first day of the Whitfield College of the Bible? Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the Lord was saying, as my grace was sufficient for you back there in 1990, so it is now sufficient for you as I send you to go up and to possess the land. Men and women, God's grace is sufficient. I've proved that many a time over. I proved it particularly 2 years ago. My mother, my father's gone in glory 11 years. My mother latterly was in a nursing home with a little party for her 90th birthday in June. 15th of July, the phone rang and she was gone. Gone to glory. At the funeral service, welcome the people in. Standing beside me was my sister. 7 weeks later, I had to carry her coffin. And the problem was this. Rhoda had been diagnosed with cancer about 2 years previous. But she wasn't saved. She wasn't saved. Brought up in the same household. Didn't go to church. Left those things back behind. It was a great concern for her. Last week of August, she was admitted into hospital. Still not saved. An opportunity of speaking with her. Friday night. She may have thought that within a lot of days she'd be out again. She never did. That next week we were told they'd be very surprised if she was here by the weekend. There's a woman come in. I happened to be there. I think it was the Monday, Tuesday maybe. And she was doing a wee bit of visitation for the old church, the old Presbyterian church that we formerly attended. My sister never went to church. Years ago, yes, she might have went. She lived now on her own, etc., and all of that. She never went. And this woman came in. I know the minister also came in, I think, on the Saturday. And she read to her John 3:16. She prayed and away she went. And she asked her about heaven, or I asked her about heaven. I said, Rhoda, did you ever do anything about that? And she pointed upward. And she shook her head. And I said, when? When did you seek the Lord? And I began, I said, Sunday? Yes. And then women, that's all I have. You know, I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His mercy. For those days later, in unconsciousness, she was gone by the Saturday night. I was there. We started from the Tuesday to sit with her through the night. I was the first one. And I was the last one. Men and women, God's grace is sufficient. Are you ready for death? She was only 65. She looked about 45. Yet she loved me telling her that. She wasn't old. We had another funeral within 7 weeks. God's grace is sufficient. And that's the message the Lord gave me from that verse. And I looked at that verse 21 of Deuteronomy 1. And I looked at it and I looked at the word land. Set the land before thee, go up in the zest. And I said, what's that word? And the interesting thing is that that word means level or plain country. One of our people in Mourne, you know, they're very witty down there. I told this to the congregation as I answered them. And she said, what do you mean by that? Sure, there's a hill in Market Hill. Well, yes, I know there's a hill in Market Hill, but it's nothing compared to the Mournes. And the Lord was clearly saying, I've set the plain country before you. Go home. Tell thy friends what the Lord hath done for thee. So I've come after 10 good years and more, and I believe in the will of the Lord to preach Christ. So that unconverted soul, you might receive Him as your Lord and as your Savior. You might repent of your sin and you might know pardon and forgiveness from your sin and be reconciled to a holy God. I wonder tonight as I close, and I've gone over a little time, I know that, but I wonder as I bring our meeting to a conclusion, have you seen something of yourself in my testimony tonight? Maybe you also have been privileged in the gospel. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you have a godly grandmother or father praying for you. Maybe you've had those influences throughout your life and you know your need of Christ, yet tonight you're still rejecting Him. You're still saying, preacher, no, I will not have this man to rule over me. I wonder, will you have not have done my sin tonight? And turn by faith as God's Spirit is striving with you and seek the Lord. For you know, God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with men. Now is the day of God's opportunity for your soul. Behold, now is the accepted time. I have no greater joy than to point you to the Savior. I can't save you. This church can't save you. But Christ can. He's the mighty to save. He has paid the full price of our redemption and our salvation on Calvary's cross. He has bore our sins away in His own body. He has shed His precious blood. A sinner, you might be pardoned. You might be set free from the bondage of sin and the devil tonight. I wonder, will you come? It's my prayer that you will. I want just in closing to thank our people. We've had a tremendous welcome. I mean that. The welcome that we have received today has been great. And before today, I want to take an opportunity of thanking those who have helped us at the manse. And I know pressure was put on some men, and I know these men are all busy. People want things done for Christmas for some reason. But then you heard Patterson's coming, so you better get his house sorted out. And you went out of your way to do that. And I want to thank Wesley. Wesley's here tonight. And Wesley's a man who pulls us out, helps us at the shop, but you know he's come to Kilkeel with a wee trailer and we've brought 3 or 4 load up already. And I appreciate him in doing that. He'll be here tomorrow, God willing, as well. But men and women, I want I want you to meet Christ most of all. If you're not seeing, I pray we might see times of God's right hand. I pray that God might reveal His power, restoring. Maybe you're a backslider, grown cold. Thank God the Lord hasn't forgotten about you. And He can restore unto you the full joy of your salvation. Thank God He can save, He can regenerate. And it's my prayer that we know times of God's visitation, even in Margaret Hill. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His own name's sake.